Dear church family, this evening our call to worship comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." Please turn with me in the scriptures to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and we will read verses 8 through 20. 8 through 20. Let's hear the word of our God. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you: ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, 'Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." So far the reading of God's holy, infallible, and beautiful word. Dear church family, this evening our text comes from Luke 2, verses 10 through 12. Let's read them together. "And the angel said unto them," that's to the shepherds, "'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you: ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." We live in a world that bombards us with news stories or messages. Messages that seek to captivate our attention, draw us in. You, your children, they want your attention day after day. This is true of the news that we read and hear and see. But it's equally true of the entertainment that we take in. Every source, in one way or another, is promoting what they have classified as very important and worth following. Sometimes this promotion is subtle, not really talked about, but it's present in the message. Other times it is very blatant. It's obvious. It's in your face. You can't get away from it. Sometimes it's embedded in the things that you watch children or young people, or you listen to, or the games you play. It's present in those messages. Other times it's maybe as you're on the internet, it's in those sidebars of those advertisements on the web browser that seek to grab your attention and bring you in. We are bombarded day after day with messages from all kinds of media platforms, social media, social influencers, ideologies of the day, whether it's in the classroom or on the internet or in our messages and our Facebook feeds, you name it, it's being bombarded. We are being bombarded, seeking to grab our attention. These messages tell us this is important. Listen to it. And they want to suggest that these ideas are worth following, that they're part of the normal fabric of daily life. And this is particularly true for you, young people and children. Satan would love to have your souls and your minds captivated. He wants our children to buy into the thought patterns, the messages of this world, and all its emptiness. Messages that suggest that you can be who you want to be. Messages that suggest that there's no such thing as right or wrong. Messages that suggest that sin is not really that bad. And God, who is God? But friends, tonight we, in contrast to the messages that come from the world to us, that the world bombards us with, that bombards you children with, we have a message that addresses our ultimate needs, that addresses that desperate need that we have for hope and for good news. For by nature, we don't even recognize this great need that's in us. We attempt to find fulfillment and satisfaction in so many areas of our life. But as we will see tonight, there is a message of good news, a message that comes with divine power that exposes us and our need. It's a message that points us to our only hope, a message that must be accompanied by faith, by trust, by obedience, a message that's going to be lived out in daily life. And so tonight in particular, children and young people, since you are in so many ways confronted by the bad news of this world, it's my desire to particularly focus a message for you. As it speaking to you particularly, but for all of us really, this message is for all of us. And so children, tonight I want to bring you the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. And we want to look at it from two aspects. The revelation of it, as we find it in our passage, or maybe in other word, the announcement of it. And then we want to look at the response to this message. How are we, even as little children, as teenagers, as young people, how are we to respond to this? This message is one that we need to hear time and time again. It's an important message. In many ways, it's an old message. But it's a message that, as important as it was for the shepherds, it's as important for us today, again and again and again. And we want to look at four characteristics of this message as we find it in our passage. And the first characteristic is that from a human standpoint, this is a message that is unexpected. It's a message we're not looking for. We read in verse 8, and there were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. We're drawn away, our attention, children, is drawn away from that stable where Jesus had been born, where Mary had given birth to this little baby, whom she had laid in the manger. And our attention is now being drawn to a field nearby, somewhere in the vicinity, to a group of shepherds who were caring for and watching over their sheep. It was night. And children, trying to imagine the scene with me. They're out there in the field, not in a house, not in under in a warm car. They were out in the field. It was dark. The stars shone brightly in the night sky. And maybe the shepherds heard the distant howl of a predator. Maybe they were taking turns watching over their flock as while others got rest. They were once more settling in for a long night of caring for and looking after their sheep. Like every other night, they were looking forward to that morning light to rise up that would dispel the shadows of the night. They were not expecting anything out of the ordinary, out of the routine. They were used to this. Day after day, they went out with their flocks and cared for the sheep. And suddenly, in the midst of the night, surrounded by a bright light, and then in their very presence stood an angel of the Lord. From darkness to glorious light, from being alone in the countryside to having an angelic being standing in their very midst. And the shepherds, who were not expecting this at all, we are told, were sore afraid. Literally, they were terrified with great fear. Children, they were really afraid. They were not expecting this visit. This was the last thing that they expected to experience as they led their flocks out into the pasture that evening. And so the message that comes to them was an unexpected message. But it was also unexpected in the sense of who this message came to. Children, if you were going to tell someone about the birth of the most important person in the world, who would you tell? Where would you go first to announce the birth of this most important person? World leaders, important decision makers of the day, people with significant influence. The Lord, in his infinite wisdom, however, confounding the wisdom of this world, confounding the people with the power of the day, chooses to come and reveal this message, this good news, to a group of humble shepherds. Shepherds who were of the lowest status of the day. People who had no esteem or honor among their citizens of the country. Generally, they were an uneducated, unreliable, and as one author said, people often of unsavory characters, whose words could not be trusted even in a court of law. It was to such a group that the good news came. And friends, that hasn't changed. Children, that hasn't changed. The gospel continues to come to nobodies, to those who are not esteemed in the eyes of men, to the afflicted, to the brokenhearted. It comes to little children, for as the scriptures tell us, for of such are the kingdom of heaven. Children and young people, it's a message that comes to you tonight. A message that you and I do not deserve to hear, but a message that we need to hear. Which leads us to the second characteristic of this message. It is a needed message. The angel begins by addressing the fear of the shepherds. He says to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Children, these shepherds did not have to be terrified, for the message from the Lord was a message of hope, was a message of peace, was a message of great joy, a message of good tidings. But even as we read that this was a message of hope and of great joy, it suggests and implies, children, that these shepherds were missing out on something. They were missing out on hope, on peace, and they lacked joy within their own lives. And what they were going to hear was going to change their world. And friends, apart from Jesus Christ, apart from knowing Him, you and I cannot have true joy or purpose in our life. And for that we need the Holy Spirit to uncover our hearts. And we pray that even now, tonight, He is doing that in our midst. Young people, by nature, we are on a mission to seek purpose, happiness in the things we do in life. We do this in a variety of ways. For some of you, this might be excelling in your academic work, working hard, getting good grades, doing your best, and that's good, but if that's your identity, it's not enough. For others, it might be in athletics, or in their work, or in their friends, or in their social life, or in their social media presentation of who you are, in your entertainment, in the games you play. Friend, whatever it is in your life, if it's apart from Jesus Christ, it leaves you empty, it leaves you hopeless, it leaves you without joy. And you do it day after day, week after week, weekend after weekend, and that gaping hole in your heart is never filled. Never filled and never will be filled with something of this earth, but can and only will be met and filled with this message of great joy, of good news. So if you've been seeking purpose, identity, and have not found it, recognizing that it's been empty in your life for so long, pay close attention. The message that the shepherds heard is the same message that you and I need to hear. It's a message that we all need to hear. And that's what the angel addresses in his next thought. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The message that was coming to the shepherds was not just a message that was exclusive to the shepherds, but it was a message that was to go beyond the shepherds to the whole world, to all people. The need of this message is a universal need. Everybody needs to hear it. Whether you're 2 years old or 5 years old or 13 years old or 20 years old, you need to hear this message. There's no boy or girl, no young man or woman, no elderly one with us today who does not need to hear this message of good news. So are your ears open to hear? And the angel continues, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior which is Christ the Lord." A Savior has been born. And children, when you think of the word Savior, what comes to your mind? If there's a Savior, there must be someone who needs to be saved. And who needs to be saved? Well, the angel said to the shepherds, "For unto you," to the shepherds. The shepherds were in need of a Savior. And why? Why did the shepherds need a Savior? It's the same reasons we need a Savior. Because we are sinners. We've been disobedient. Children, you've been disobedient. You've done bad things. We've done bad things when we know we shouldn't have. Maybe you've been rude to a brother or a sister or to a classmate. Or maybe you've talked rudely, back-talked to your mommy or daddy. Or maybe you said some sinful words or looked at things that were not right and pleasing to the Lord. Or maybe it's not in the things that you did, but it's in the things that you didn't do. Maybe you failed to be obedient to your mom and dad when they asked you to do something. Or maybe you haven't been doing your best, using your gifts and talents to the best of your ability, whether at work or at school. Or maybe you have not been respecting your employer's time while you were on the job. Or failing to be kind to that classmate. Or maybe you have not been loving God above all and your neighbor as yourself. It comes to ones who are dead in their sins and trespasses. It comes to ones who are living without hope. It comes to lost nobodies in this world. Which leads us to the third characteristic. This message is a gracious message. For it comes to people who need it desperately. And with that message comes hope. There is good news for people like you and I. A Savior has been born. This word Savior is a term that is used to describe a powerful person or deity. In our context, it describes the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come to rescue one who is in dire need and in a desperate condition. But it not only talks about the idea of rescuing, but it also talks about once rescued, this Savior can preserve and keep forever. This one, children, who was born in Bethlehem, who was so dependent on his mom and dad at that moment, is the one who is powerful to save from all our sins, from the bondage of it, from its cold and icy grip on our heart and our life. But he's not only powerful to rescue us from our sin, but he's able to keep us rescued. And so, dear child of God, this message is one that you need to hear. You have a Savior who is born. A Savior who has not only rescued you, but he keeps you. And will keep you until he brings you home. We have a Savior, children, who is born. And the angel says, for unto you is born. In the context of this of our passage, this was a personal message to the shepherds. For unto you, shepherds, was born this Savior. To these lowly, insignificant, social outcasts of society came this message that there was a Savior for them. But not only to them, but to all who hear this message today. It's emphatic. This is most certainly a message for you. Yes, it is to all people, but to you tonight who hear this word from the servant of the Lord, it's a word to you, little children. It's a word to you, young people. It's a word to you, adults, parents, elderly in our midst. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Comes to you today because God is a gracious God, a merciful God, a God who calls you to come to him. He says elsewhere in the scriptures, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart Or in the words of the wise men, he says, my son or my daughter, give me thine heart. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. A Savior who is needed, but a Savior who is most suitable for all of our needs. For he was and is the promised one, the one who was born in the city of David, as Micah tells us. He was the long-awaited Messiah, the one who was faithful, the faithful of Israel looked to and for. They longed for him to bring salvation to the people of God. But he was not only the promised one, but he was the one who came as a real human being, but yet was truly and very God. He was born, speaks to his real humanity. He was born like each of you children. And like you as children, you depend on your mom and dad to care for you, to give you food, to drink, to clothe you, to protect you. So Jesus depended on his earthly parents to care for him, to protect him, to feed him as he grew up. But he was also very God. He was Christ, the Lord. He was the anointed one sent by his Father to come into this world to be our prophet, priest, and king. He was Christ, the anointed Messiah. Children, do you know what that means? For Christ to have been the anointed one. Not just for older people, but for little children, for young people. He's the one who came to instruct you in his righteous ways. He's the one who can teach you about your great need to be born again, about your great need to have your sins washed away. But he not only teaches, he's the one who can wash away your sins so that you become whiter than snow. He's the one who gave his life so that you can live forever. But he's also the one who can become your king, who will care for you and protect you and lead you. Young people, he's the one who fought against all temptation and never sinned once. And as you experience temptation, you can go to him with all of your temptations because he has faced them. He's been where you're at. He's become the most suitable Savior for sinners like us. You can go to him for help as you deal with sin in your life. He's been where you're at. He knows the struggles, and he calls you to cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. But maybe you say, and maybe the shepherds say, is this really real? How do we know? Well, I think that's the fourth characteristic of the message that came to these shepherds, as glorious as it was, as beautiful as it was, as needed as it was a message that was reinforced and encouraged with signs. Not only did the angel come to the shepherds with the word of the Lord, which is sufficient and powerful, and the shepherds testify to this reality several times in our passage. We see it in verse 15 that they let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us, which the Lord has revealed to us. In verse 17, as they were telling the message abroad, they made known abroad the saying, the words, the very words that were told to them. And in verse 20, they went back, they returned, glorifying God and praising him for all the things that they had heard. So the word was central, and yet the Lord comes with signs. And so children, the first thing we need to recognize here is that the word of God is powerful, and it is accomplishing its purposes even tonight in our lives as we hear it. And so as you read the word and study it, be diligent in the study of the scriptures. Because it is through the word that the Lord speaks to sinners like us. Maybe you say, well, I haven't experienced that in my life, but my friend, pray that the Lord would bless his word. Pray that the word of God would bear fruit in your life, that your heart and mind would be opened to receiving it. Pray for faith to believe the word as you read it and study it. On your own, as you come to church, as you hear the word proclaimed, pray that the Lord would bless his own word in your heart and life. The Lord also encouraged these shepherds with signs, with visible signs. He said the shepherds were to go, and when they found the baby, this is what would be the case. They would find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, as we heard this morning. And he would be lying in a manger, in a feeding trough. They were to look, but they were to do so by faith. They had to believe the word first. And in believing and in going, the word was confirmed in their heart and life by these signs. Wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Children, is this where you would look for a little baby? In a barn? In a feeding trough? I'm not sure if you've ever been in a barn, but they are not the cleanest places in the world. They're dirty. They're smelly. There's often all kinds of other bugs and critters that run around. And it was here in the midst of this that the shepherds were to find Jesus. The shepherds were to look for one who had humbled himself, who had come wrapped in humility. As we heard last week from Dr. Barrett, he had emptied himself by adding to himself humanity, humbling himself. And from the very beginning, his life is portrayed by absolute humility. And this humility would continue, children, for his entire life. He would experience suffering, suffering that would intensify as he came to the cross where he would die. And does not our Lord continue to give signs to confirm the faith and encourage the faith of his people? Just a few weeks ago, we had the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, simple signs of bread and wine. And what do they remind us of? The same things that the shepherds are reminded of, the humility of Jesus Christ, and that he had his body broken and his blood shed for sinners like us. But the shepherds were also encouraged by this angelic host, this heavenly host, who came praising God for the birth of Christ. Suddenly the angels or the shepherds were surrounded by this vast, huge number of angelic beings who broke forth in praise of the Lord Jesus Christ, who praised the God of the heavens and the earth. Praise that centered around the redemptive work of God in the lives of sinful people like you and I. Praise that revolved around the fact that this good news had come and was being proclaimed even to unworthy ones. News that would bring glory to God in the highest for his redemptive work. News that would truly bring peace into the hearts of boys and girls, into the hearts of men and women. News that would come because it was the good pleasure of God, because of his good will. He's a God who has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He's a God who delights in reconciling and being reconciled even to sinful human beings. And this draws forth the praise of this angelic host. What was before promised is now a worked out reality in Christ's birth. In the midst of this praise, in the midst of the angelic host, there stood the shepherds. You can just imagine them in awe of that praise that's going on around them. And wonder, is this really real? And then, children, silence. Darkness once again covered the earth as this angelic host and the angel left the shepherds. And the question is, what would the shepherds do? How would they respond? How do you respond to this message that has come to you today? So what would the shepherds do? They had received no explicit command to go and see. But they had been told a message of good news that would bring great joy to all people. A message that a Savior had been born this day. A message that was particularly for them, to you, is born. A message that had been promised in the city of David. A message that the anointed Messiah, the Christ, was come. But actually, not only the shepherds, but all of us tonight have heard. We have heard this message once more. And yet, in the text, there has not been an explicit command. But friends, our need has been pointed out. The Savior has been lifted up. The prospect of great joy has been set before us. And so even though there isn't a direct command to come and see this one who is lying in a manger, the question that comes to us is, why wouldn't you? Children, come and see this little baby lying in a manger with me. Young people, come and see the Christ child. All of us, come and see. Come behold the incarnate Son of God who humbled himself, is lying in a manger. And so what did the shepherds do? Well, their response, there's a fourfold response from the shepherds. And in the first place, we find them encouraging one another. Listen to what Luke writes in verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now even go unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They said to one another, they encouraged one another to take God at his word. Friends, we are called to encourage one another to come and see Jesus Christ, the one who came and was lying in a manger. Parents, are you encouraging your children, taking them with you to see Jesus Christ? Children and young people, are you challenging one another, talking to one another, and encouraging one another to come and see as the Lord has told you? As a church family, are we encouraging one another to go to Jesus time and time again? Dear child of God, is it your chief delight to point others to your Lord and Savior? To come and see Jesus, whether they're Christians or not? Are we involved in a one another ministry of encouraging one another to come to the Savior, to find rest and joy in Him alone. The second thing that the shepherds do, after encouraging one another to take God at His word, is they go. They get up and they go. And not only go, in their going they find. Verse 16, and they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. They came with haste. They had to go. There's a sense of urgency and hurry in their step. They drop all that they're doing. They leave their sheep behind, the ones who are vulnerable to attack, and they go searching for the Christ child. They cannot stay away. And they search diligently for the young child. And they found. And this word for found in verse 16, it has the idea of actively searching, a diligent search. But it also has the idea that they knew they were looking for something they could find and would find. They were confident that what had been told them was true, and they would find the one that they were looking for, not because they were so good at looking, but because the Word of God told them that it would be there. He would be there, the Christ child. He could be and would be found. And children and young people and congregation, He can be found. Jesus Christ is knowable. And He gives us everything that is absolutely necessary in order that we might find Him. He gave the shepherds His revealed word. A Savior had been born. Had been born for sinners like them. For sinners like you and I. The angel had given them two signs. This is the Savior that you are to look for. He's one who is humble and lowly. He's one who is wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Friends, our God gives us exactly what we need to find Him. And it's right here in this book. And it points us time and time again, as you page through the Scriptures, as you study the Scriptures, that points to the Christ child, that one who was humble and lowly. Friends, He's not elusive, but He delights in being found by sinners. He has given His word, so a word that John tells us in John chapter 20 that was written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. And Jesus, after living here for 33 years, after suffering, after dying, after being buried, after rising again from the dead, He ascended to His Father, and He sent out His Holy Spirit. And friends, that Holy Spirit loves to make much of Jesus Christ in the hearts and lives of sinners. He's the one that plants new life. The Lord gives us everything that we need to come and see and behold the Christ child as He lay in the manger. Come and see. The shepherds came and they found Him. Have you found Him? Have you found Him just like the Scriptures have revealed Him to be? One who is meek and lowly? The Savior of sinners. Come and see Him. In the third place, the shepherds, the response is one that they cannot contain to themselves. They have to tell others about Him. Verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. In finding Jesus, just as the angel had told them. They went abroad and they told others about this child and what they had been told about this child. The word of God that had come to them now becomes their very message to others. Their hearts are overflowing. They have to tell others about this child that's lying in a manger, about the Savior who has been born, about the Christ child. Like the lepers who came to that enemy camp, the Assyrian camp that was empty of soldiers but full of food and provision, the lepers had to go back to the city and tell them about the great supply that was present. And what about you? If you have found Jesus, and he has become the delight of your soul, you have experienced great joy in him and who he is and what he's done for a sinner like you, is it your desire to tell others about him? To tell others what he has done for you and for your soul? As you look at the people around you in your life that the Lord has placed in your path, in your sphere of influence, are there those who don't know about Jesus, who have never trusted in him? And are you coming alongside them and inviting them, urging them, telling them about the one and only Savior and saying, come with me and see this one, Jesus? He came into the world as a little baby. He humbled himself. And he did this so that he could save his people from their sins. If you're not, why not? Has Jesus and what he's done for you lost its wonder, its glory, its power? Or maybe you've never known him. Come to the manger. Come and see him who has wrapped himself in humility, who has become the most suitable Savior for sinners, and come and see him. The shepherds went. They weren't looking for response. They weren't looking for people that would listen to them. They just told the news. And many of them wondered at it. But we never read of them coming. But the shepherds were faithful in proclaiming this good news. But the shepherds also, in the fourth place, returned. They returned to shepherding, but never lost sight of the wonder of what they had heard and seen. In verse 20, we read, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. They returned to their flocks, to the sheep, to their regular callings. And as they carried out their callings, they glorified God and they praised him for his redemptive work. They did not forsake their callings, but they lived thankful, worship-filled lives in the context that the Lord had called them to. And dear congregation, we are called to live out our lives, our daily callings, continuing to fill those callings, but to do so, and to do so with diligence. But as we carry out our callings, as we live out our callings, in whatever sphere that might be, whether it's in the construction industry, or whether it's in the home, or whether it's in the classroom, children, we're called to bring glory to the Lord. We're called to praise him. So are you living for the glory of God in every area of your life because of what Jesus has done for a sinner like you? We were created to live for his glory. That has been our chief end. Or are you still living for yourself? Still buying into the messages of this world, soaking that in and letting that become your identity, seeking your identity in yourself and another and in your possessions, in your work. Friend, if this is all you have, You may experience momentary pleasure or a sense of fulfillment, but you are missing out on the deepest joy, the real lasting joy that is found in Christ Jesus. The shepherds return to their flocks, praising and glorifying God. And it's my prayer that we would return this as we head out into our week after a day of worship, back to our callings, praising God and glorifying Him for who He is and what He's done. But Mary also responded. Mary heard the good news as well from the shepherds. No doubt they told her exactly what had happened out in that field and in the countryside. And we read that Mary took all these things and kept them, all these things, and pondered them in her heart. She kept, she remembered, she stored up all these things in her mind for careful consideration, for meditation, for thought, so she could bring all these things together that had happened in her life already, to see how all these things were working out for the good of the people of God. We have heard a lot of things today. Children and young people, you've learned a lot even in this service and in this morning service, but last week at school, many of you sung the beautiful songs and recited texts from Scripture. You have much stored in your mind from the last 3-4 months of school. Then you have a life of learning already that has taken place, instruction that's come to you from this pulpit time and time again. You have heard that Jesus has come into this world, that He's come to suffer and die, to save His people from their sins. You have heard that you are a sinner, and deep down you know it. You know that you do bad things, and that you don't live in a way that pleases the Lord by nature. You have heard of your need to repent, to confess your sins to the Lord. You have heard that you can come to Jesus Christ, in that believing in Him, He is able to wash away all your sins. You have heard all these things. Are you like Mary, remembering them, storing them up in your mind, thinking about them, bringing them all together? And is this driving you to the Lord to say, I must find Him? Like the shepherds, going, looking, and finding Jesus. Children, you're not too young to begin seeking the Lord. Seek Him today. He's worthy to be served. And Jesus can be found. Don't delay. Don't be like the people that the shepherds, as they told their message abroad, who sort of wondered at the message, but we never read about them coming. Come. Seek Him. Seek Him this very night. Do not delay. And if you've already come to Jesus, already have seen Him for who He is and what He's done for sinners like you, continue to ponder these things. Think about them. Bring them to mind, seeing who Jesus is, that He is the sufficient one, the one who rescued you. But He's also the one who keeps you. And be ones like the shepherd who are encouraging others to come to Jesus, encouraging other people of God to keep their eye on Christ, encouraging others to take God at His word and continue to take God at His word yourself. And do live out in your day-to-day life a life of praise that brings glory to God. But maybe there's someone here who is like that crowd that the shepherds talked to. There's a sense of wonder, but no desire. A sense of, is this really true? Friend, Jesus has been born, and he's worth serving. Come and find him today. For this is truly good news that brings great joy. Amen. Gracious God, what a beautiful Savior we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord, who humbled himself so low, the meek and lowly one, the one who is approachable, who invites and calls sinners to come to him and believe in him. Lord Jesus, we are thankful for who thou art. And we pray that there would be many who come and find Christ tonight. Lord, for thou art worthy to be served. And we do pray that thy dear people would go out in this week and encourage one another, encourage others to come and see, would themselves remember and remind themselves, bringing together all that they have learned about Jesus and rest in him, and that they would tell others and live lives in their regular callings, their day-to-day callings, praising God, glorifying him. Lord, we are thankful for such a Savior. Amen.